This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that the guy who is apparently running our government owns that used to be Twitter. It is time. It is time. It is the final day of our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. So go get your phone. Open the Civic Media app. This is the word you want to text this hour for $100 in cash. The word is cookies. COOKIES. Sure, they give us a long word on the last day. The word is cookies.
They gave
COOKIES. Cookies is the word for today. Text in cookies until noon, and you are in the running for $100 in cash. And then, of course, one of eight grand prizes, including a snowblower. We have espresso machines, some nice luggage sets, and robotic vacuums. So text the word cookies, COOKIES. This hour we are playing for $100 in cash. He joins us every Friday from the recombobulation area and also Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Always always wonderful to join you here on a Friday on Matt and Air on Air.
You've got some big stories on the recombobulation, Dan. Which one and where would you like to start?
Yeah, sure. We have had a bit busy week at the recombobulation area. We'll start with a piece that's been in the works for a little while here from a longtime contributor, award-winning contributor Phil Rocco, who wrote a terrific piece this week about shared revenue, about what was happening in Waukesha County. So Phil wrote last year when the shared revenue law was being debated. Phil wrote a extensively reported and researched analysis series on the law reforming the state's shared revenue program, which was, you know, one of the biggest pieces of legislation that passed last year. And it was, you know, just very much long overdue. The state had been underfunding local government for really a long time, and it really got especially worse, you know, under Republican control during the Walker years, during the Robin Voss years in Wisconsin. And so with that reform bill, it was like, okay, we finally have some more state dollars going to local municipalities, local counties, whatever it might be. But I think what has been happening in Waukesha County over the last couple months is revealing the limitations of this law and revealing some of the criticism that was directed at Milwaukee as Milwaukee was seeking to raise its sales tax as a part of this law. You know, it was, you know, as I was saying at the time, as I and many others were saying at the time, was this is a problem that every community in Wisconsin is facing and not just Milwaukee. And so to call this a bailout of Milwaukee, to call Milwaukee mismanaged and all of these different things that were levied at the city as this bill was being debated last year. Well, now Waukesha County is dealing with many of the same problems. So are people saying that Waukesha County is mismanaged? Are people saying that Waukesha County is needing a bailout? Not exactly. But I think it is really interesting to see what's going on there, because I think it is revelatory in what's happening throughout the state, in just how the state is still sitting on this $4 billion surplus as needs in local municipalities are going underfunded. And so the Waukesha County executive, Paul Farrow, a Republican himself, earlier this fall, tried to put forth an effort to raise the sales tax to address some of these budget shortfalls. And Scott Walker, former governor Scott Walker, stepped in to say that, you know, hey, we shouldn't raise our sales tax in Waukesha, blah, 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 all of these different things. And it killed the effort in real time there in October in Waukesha. But that is not stopping the problems that the county is facing. So after Walker killed that effort, the Waukesha County Board in late November unanimously passed a resolution urging the state of Wisconsin to provide the county with additional shared revenue. And so, you know, it sure is the type of scenario where, it's just like the hot dog meme of, hey, we're all looking to find the guy who did this. And it was Scott Walker underfunding local municipalities when he was governor. And it was, again, Scott Walker killing the effort to raise the sales tax to fund critical services in Waukesha. So Phil Rocco really did a deep dive on this. I'd encourage you all to take some time to read this piece now at the Recombobulation Era and also available at civicmedia.us.
I am curious, Dan, as to why Scott Walker still has any influence here.
I think it's just the name recognition at this point, right? Because he hasn't held office in, what is it, six years. He has not held office anywhere, not been on the ballot. Hasn't won an election in a decade, you know? But I think it's just on name recognition alone. And I think part of it is that in the Milwaukee's efforts to raise its sales tax for the county and for the city, the business community got on board with it too. So as the MMAC backed that effort in Waukesha, it's different because the Waukesha Area Business Alliance, I think I'm bungling that name a little bit, but they have also joined Walker in opposition to this effort to raise the sales tax in Waukesha County. So I think that is part of what's different about it too.
The thing it's funny you're talking about these things now. When I worked for the city of Racine back in 2009 and 10, when Walker was coming to power the following year and the Tea Party was really taking form, these efforts to stamp down any sort of we fought and scraped and scrimped for shared revenue and any sort of funding for projects and told simply, yeah, you're not going to get it. Why not? You're Racine and you don't fit our milieu. You didn't vote for us. So sorry. And they tried to, and then they killed the sales tax raising back then too. And we tried to tell people it was one quarter, 25 cents on every $100 spent. And they were like, I don't care. Don't raise my taxes. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Lost two to one. And so reading about this now and hearing about it now, it's really frustrating because all we were trying to do was help the people. And now Waukesha is trying to help their people. And it just seems different because is it Waukesha? Is it because it's Waukesha? And they're still struggling though. They're still struggling.
And Waukesha is the wealthiest county in the state. And really? So the people of Waukesha have the funds to pay for, you know, is the highest average or median income in the state of Wisconsin is in Waukesha County. So they're, you know, the people of Waukesha County have some money that you could potentially tax here. But I think the part of what Phil Rocco gets into in this piece is that the problem with the shared revenue bill that was passed last year was not the formula used to kind of change the way tax dollars are allocated to local communities. That was one of the strong parts of the bill. What the problem with it was that it was still very stingy in the number of dollars that would go to these local communities. So overall, and I'm reading directly from Phil Rocco's piece here. So he writes, the problem with the bill came down not so much the convoluted formula used to allocate aid to counties, but to its relatively stingy financing. Overall, Act 12 allocated $68 million to counties in 2024. This is a fraction of what counties would have received under the old shared revenue system had it been revived and adjusted for inflation. It's also half of what counties would have received under the proposal made by Governor Tony Evers in early 2023. So this is part of it too. So like Evers put out this proposal for shared revenue. It brought so many more dollars to local counties, local municipalities, than the Republican-authored bill that was ultimately passed. And I think a lot of people, myself included, were saying, yes, we should pass this shared revenue bill, but to live to fight another day, because we are going to fall off the cliff in cities like Milwaukee and around the state if we don't get some level of shared revenue back to local government. What I think the crisis that they're seeing in Waukesha County is revealing is that if we would have gone with the Evers proposal last year, that would have made a huge, huge, huge difference, and that many of these counties would not be looking to go to sales tax, or as we saw in the November election, so many places going to referenda to fund services, fund schools, whatever it might be. And so it again is showing that the problem, as it so often does in the state of Wisconsin, goes back to Robin Voss and the leadership in the Republican-controlled state legislature.
It's all about Robin.
I'm so shocked. It's Robin's $4 billion, and he knows how best to use that money. We only have a couple of minutes left before we got to go to break, Dan. But when we're talking about what are things that people that are going to impact people, what are because that's the only way that people can ever change their mind is if it directly impacts them. So when we're talking about these funding issues, what is it that folks aren't going to be able to get?
Well, this will go. So there are a number of services that counties are like mandated to carry out. And these are things like the courts and things like that, that are, it's just where the counties are like an arm of the state, right? The non-mandated services are things like public transit, libraries, parks, other amenities like that, that are critical to maintaining quality of life in a lot of these and across the county. And so like the county had to cut a few million dollars from its budget this year to deal with the fact that they were not able to pass this sales tax increase. The sales tax increase would have been like a 0.5 sales tax increase that would have brought in an annual amount of $50 million a year. And again, made it less reliant on the state for some of these services. But these are the types of things that people are not going to have when they continue to face cuts. It's just, you know, it's not a situation where people are, oh, you're going to have to do more with less. You're going to have to be more efficient. We've already spent 40 years hollowing out the public sector in this country post Reagan. And so like, where else is there to cut in a lot of these places? And you have, again, this is a Republican county executive who is proposing these changes.
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget to text the word via the Civic Media app. The word to text this hour is cookies. We have a visual display. COOKIES. Cookies is the word to text in via the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for $100 in cash. And of course, even if you don't win the hourly prize, everyone is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes: snowblower, candy thing, robotic vacuums, espresso machine, nice sets of luggage. So make sure you text the word via the Civic Media app. The word this hour is cookies, COOKIES. Your next chance at the 1 o'clock hour with Todd Alba and then 4 p.m. with Dominic Salvia. He joins us every Friday from the Recombobulation area, and Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. Dan, let's move on to the Act 10 being deemed unconstitutional, although I don't know if you saw this, but Urban Milwaukee this morning just released ruling that struck down Act 10 put on hold.
Yeah, the rule. This is kind of an expected part of the process, though. So I think it is, you know, everybody had expected that this ruling would go to appeal and that appeal would end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So news this week on Act 10, but expected news. So I think this is not something that anybody should really be, you know, alarmed by, that this is, you know, ending the decision or whatever it might be. This is expected. I think it all along this case was inevitably going to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Just a reminder that that is going to be a key issue in the April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court election that is coming up next year, in case you were missing campaign season in Wisconsin.
I really wasn't. I wasn't.
well, you got, like, you know, I don't know, 11 more days before we're really back into the thick of it here. Yep. in January, right? But I think, you know, so we ran a piece this week at the Recombobulation area from attorney from Law Forward, Jeff Mandel. So really breaking down what the ruling on Act 10 means. And, you know, there have been a variety of challenges to Act 10 over the years on the open meetings law, on a variety of different fronts. But I think what this challenge what is different about this challenge, and what I think brings it a greater likelihood of being upheld by the courts as it winds its way through the process, is that it challenges things in a different way, and it challenges one of the inherent problems of Act 10, which is that it treats two categories of public employees differently under the law and under the Equal Protection Clause of the Wisconsin State Constitution, that is what ultimately was ruled unconstitutional by Dane County Judge Judge Frost. So the key issue there is that it created two public employees in two groups: public safety employees who largely retained their bargaining rights and other benefits, and those who were deemed more general employees who lost those rights and lost some of those benefits. And, you know, from talking to Jeff about this piece, from reading his analysis that we published this week at the Recombobulation area, I think this stands a better chance of being upheld than many previous challenges did, because of the inherent conflict there. So, you know, as this goes forward, I think that's something to watch. And I think that is the, you know, one of the key problems. If conservatives and Republicans who back this law really back the changes, really back the way that this public policy is applied, then it should be applied to all public employees and not just the ones who did not endorse Scott Walker in 2010. Mm. Yep. Because that is really the dividing line of what was deemed a public safety employee and who was deemed a general public sector employee.
Well, and the one thing that the Republicans like to tout about Act 10 was that it saved us billions and billions and billions of dollars. And I have yet to see any piece that shows where those savings, where did it go?
And that's part of the problem. One of the things is that they tout these savings, and it's always, they reference these far right think tank groups like the McIver Institute, who just pluck these dollars out of nowhere. And part of it, I think, you know, just gets back to the conversation we were having about shared revenue in the previous segment. Like, if Act 10 was this end all be all of saving dollars for local government, for local communities across the state, well, then why do we have this? Why did we need the shared revenue bailout a year ago? And right. Why are we still seeing so many of these problems for local communities across the state? Like, if Act 10 was supposed to solve this problem, why are we in crisis a decade later for the very same problem that this was aiming to address?
And that is exactly the question that reporters should be asking these guys when they're going to be coming around again talking about how Act 10 was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and we have to make sure to elect whoever to the Supreme Court so they can, so, because that's what it's going to be for the next couple of months.
That's exactly right. And I think that's important to have these conversations and just recognize what is happening on the ground here. You know, not only did it cause so many teachers to leave the state and find jobs elsewhere, it created all sorts of problems, cascading levels of problems that we're still seeing. And it has not solved the issue that it aimed to solve. And so for all that conservatives want to tout that this law did, why are we back at the table talking about shared revenue, talking about local government funding, talking about school funding, talking about teachers a decade later, if this was the thing that was supposed to, you know, be the fix for that in the long term? I think that's inherent to that. And I think it's going to be important for voters to make their voices heard on that in April.
Absolutely. We're going to be hearing a lot about this, as much as we would rather not. Stay with us. News is coming up next, and then we will keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, yep, we're global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I've been trying to call. I've been on my own for long enough.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is the final day of our statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest. The word to text this hour via the Civic Media app is cookies. C-O-O-K-I-E-S. The word this hour is cookies. We're playing for $100 in cash. Everyone who enters we'll be in the drawing for one of 8 grand prizes as well. Greg Bach, if people were interested in a bonus entry, what would that require?
Oh, sir, very, very simple. If you have never entered the contest yet this time around, you're going to enter now. You're going to download that Civic Media app, text the word cookies to us, and then Civic Media will then give you a response message, and it will ask if you will please sign up for the newsletter. Follow Matt and Aaron there on Facebook. Follow Civic Media on social media, which is a hard sentence to say, but basically give you a task. And if you take that task, you will get another entry this one time, but that gives you another chance. So yes. Do it. What do you have to lose? Don't block us. Don't do all the crazy stuff that kids do. Just answer the call. Take that chance. Get that second option. Get that second entry. And you'll be in it to win it.
And you'll be glad you did. The Civic Media newsletter is fantastic. So I would highly encourage people to do that. It really is great. Our news team does a great job. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. And we're going to lighten things up a little bit. We're only 5 days away from Christmas. Kind of hard to believe. As a dad, Dan, are you dad ready? Is everything done? Are all the toys purchased?
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
No?
We're in pretty good shape, but we got a little ways to go. You know, it's always a lot this time of year. The girls are very excited. They're at just the perfect age to be enjoying Christmas.
Have they seen Santa? Light,
yes. Well, yes. We took my youngest to the Domes last week. They had a Domes Santa event there. She sat on my lap sitting next to Santa. So that was That was the compromise of figuring out how to do it. But yeah, the kids can be really afraid of Santa.
Yeah.
Some of those, you know. Yeah.
He's a stranger. Well, he looks like me, but older. Who wants to be around that?
That's all right. She was Santa lap adjacent. That was close enough. That's yeah. Absolutely fine. What are the hot toys? I'm just curious.
What's really
high on your Christmas list?
Yeah. So, well, I have successfully brainwashed my daughters into being Bucks fans. So they were doing letters to Santa, and the first thing on my oldest's Christmas list was Bucks tickets. And I was just like, we did it. We have successfully brainwashed the kids into being Bucks fans, or at least I have. And so we're going to be, you know, we'll see if Santa leaves something under the tree to go to a Bucks game in the not too distant future. We're excited about
nice.
That.
Nice.
That would be exciting. So they've never been to a Bucks game?
Yeah, they've been to Bucks games, but I think, you know, they just, that was on their list. We've been watching lots of Bucks games lately, and they're just like, oh, I want to go to a game, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, put it on your Christmas list. We'll see.
Courtside Bucks seats.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we've got lots of fun stuff ready, and I think, you know, we've got some, my oldest is also really into mermaids, so we've got a lot of mermaid stuff in the mix for this year, too, so... You know, this is being a girl dad, trying to bring in some Buck stuff to mix in with Disney princess and mermaids and whatever, unicorns, all that kind of good stuff.
That's awesome.
That's a great blend. I like the Bucks and the mermaids. I think that's a great teaming up right there. So we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas music. And
yeah,
I understand that. Dan Schaefer, you are not necessarily a fan of one of Greg Bach's favorite Christmas songs of all time.
Let me rephrase that, Jane. I'm sorry. I know you tried to help there, but he is not a fan of one of the greatest Christmas songs ever written. Period. Exclamation
point. Okay. Some clarification here. So the song that we are talking about is The Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Which I'm not saying is not one of my favorite songs. I really do enjoy that song. I love the Beatles, but I have a take on it, which is that I think Paul McCartney forgot that he was supposed to record a Christmas song, walked into the studio, and just laid that one down and just had it ready.
Yeah.
Because here are the lyrics. Let's review the lyrics of Wonderful Christmas Time. The mood is up. The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight. And that's enough. I think that Paul McCartney is such a prolific songwriter that he, you know, agreed to record a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Forgot about it. And then the day that he was supposed to go into the studio to record this Christmas song, because he is Paul McCartney, sat down at his piano, sat down and just... It's the same beat the whole song,
yeah.
Right? It's the same thing the whole song.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics are just really simple and really could just the type of thing that Paul McCartney could just come up with on the top of his head. And that's what I think happened and created this Christmas song, Wonderful Christmas Time, one of Greg's all-time favorite Christmas songs.
It really is.
And I think he came up with it on the spot. This is my theory about Wonderful Christmas Time. What do you think?
Well, there are some theories that go on, Jane.
I could absolutely go along with that, Dan. I can see him going, oh, Linda, what am I gonna just, you know, like if we're all together, that's enough. All right, let's go. I can absolutely see that happening.
Jane, I know you have a better Liverpool accent than that. Okay, all right. But I
want to hear it again once we're maybe off the phone.
there are theories that Paul McCartney stopped writing real lyrics somewhere in like 1971. Cause I mean, and also Can we ever accuse Paul McCartney of writing lyrics with great meaning, deep subtext? They've really run along the same. It's like, peace and love. I love you. We're together. You're amazing. Love, love. Christmas time, love. And that's it. That's it.
Just looking at the lyrics of the song, there's a big part of the bridge where he just goes ding dong for like a minute and a half.
And see, that's
of
where
this song.
See, that's where I've always thought was when I was younger, I always thought that was such a call in, like, oh, you can't even come up with lyrics. I feel like you have to be such a confident songwriter to put a that in there or ooh ah or doot doot doot. You're like, you're spending money burning tape to record a song, and you're like, no, we're putting ding dong in there because I'm Paul McCartney and you are not.
And it'll sell.
Yeah.
And it has.
It has.
And it has. And it's an enduring Christmas song that I enjoy every time it comes on. I'm not a huge fan of all Christmas music.
Yeah.
But I enjoy this one. But I just, every time I listen to it, I think about Paul McCartney going in and forgetting that he was supposed to record a Christmas song and just sitting down at a piano and coming up with this on the spot. And I would love, you know, there's all of these like Beatles documentaries and retrospectives and stuff like that that goes on. I would love a documentary about the recording of Wonderful Christmas Time because I think he just did it all on the spot. This is my theory.
Dan, I think you and I could produce this documentary.
And as far as Christmas songs go, Wonderful Christmas Time is actually pretty long. It's over, I want to say it's over 3.5 minutes long. That's long for a Christmas song.
Well, he had to say ding dong, ding dong, ding dong for a minute and a half in the middle of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's got to be longer. Let's make it longer. Add more ding dongs. Greg, is there a Christmas song that you do not like?
Not really, because I kind of like, it's Christmas music. So if I don't like it, I turn it off. I'm not going to pay it that much mind. Now, Pat Kreitlow hates that song. He hates Wonderful Christmas Time. So I torture him with that song as many times as I can. But no, there's really not a song, because I still to this day, All I Want for Christmas Was You by Mariah Carey. I can hear that song 10 times a day during the season. I'm on it. I'm with it. I'm here for it. There's no reason to dislike Christmas music. If you don't like it, turn it off. But I don't see the point of complaining. Like, I can't believe they're playing Christmas on the radio. I'm like, I would just switch to another channel then. It's very easy.
And since you bring that up, I just want to mention this before we forget. On Christmas Day, actually on Christmas Eve, next Tuesday, from 4 to 6 p.m., our wonderful Pete Schwabba, who is the host of Nightlight, is going to have a special Christmas Eve show from 4 to 6, and then that is going to kick off to all Christmas music all across the Civic Media radio network.
Yes.
Starting at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve and then all day on Christmas Day. So if you're going to be snuggling by the fire, opening up presents, I hope you will invite Civic Media along and listen to our Christmas music that's going to be going on all day long for everybody.
And if you are listening to Civic Media and you're like, where's the talk? Don't text us. It's just Christmas music all day. I can't wait to see the text coming into it. Why am I not hearing Earl Ingram or why am I not hearing Jane Matinere? It's like, it's Christmas, baby. Taking a day off.
It's Christmas Day, exactly. So enjoy some nice Christmas tunes starting again 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve and then all through Christmas Day. This will be across the Civic Media Radio Network. Cookies, by the way,
yeah.
I want to get this in one more time. Cookies is the word that you need to text right now via the Civic Media app, COOKIES. Text the word cookies via the Civic Media app if you haven't already done so. Then you're in the running for $100 in cash. It's all part of our statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest. Even if you don't win the $100, everyone who enters is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes, including a snowblower, would have been handy for some folks last night, robot vacuums, and some nice luggage as well. So text the word cookies, COOKIES, about 3 minutes left, favorite Christmas cookies, because we're going to do our cookie exchange, guys, next week.
Yep, next Tuesday.
Calvin, the pressure's on your mother.
Yeah.
She will come through. She was warned.
Oh my God.
She's been warned. Excellent.
Hey, Calvin, can your mom make my cookies too? Thanks. Thank you. Warn her too for my cookies.
That sounds threatening, you know.
Well, she was asked very nicely.
There
I
it is.
Say.
There it is. There it is. Okay.
All nicely right. warned.
Dan, do you have a favorite?
I have one more thought on Wonderful Christmas Time.
Okay.
Just to keep hammering this. You know, I have a favorite lyric from this song.
Which is?
There's like four lyrics in this song, so it's easy to pick a favorite. Where he goes, we're here tonight, and that's enough.
But isn't it true, though, Dan?
It's true, but it's just such a funny, that's enough. We're here tonight, that's enough.
When you dig
that's
down,
that's good. That's
when you
enough.
Dig down deep, Dan, you get to all, past all the mud and the muck and the blood and the rock and the soil. Try get down deep. We're just here today, folks. We're here together. That's all we need.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. This is the brilliance of Paul McCartney, that he can have a lyric that says, we're here tonight and that's enough. And it's profound, you know?
Well, but who knows, Dan, maybe this was his profound commentary on the over-commercialization of Christmas and therefore saying, we don't need prezzies. We don't need presents. We're here tonight. That's enough.
Wow.
We don't need this stuff.
Jane did it. Jane found the subtext. Jane found the subtext in a Paul McCartney song post 71.
Well, we're here together on Matt and Air on Air, and that's enough.
There you go.
That's enough. Merry, Merry Christmas. Dan, you're going to be filling in for us on the 26th.
26th, that's right.
It's going to be fun.
So join Dan Schaefer next Thursday, and have a great holiday, Dan. Thank you so very much. We will see you soon.
You as well.
Stay
be well.
Close. We're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Ho Ho No edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To Matt and Air on Air, Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have news coming up in just a little bit, followed by Todd Alba from noon until 2. Maggie Dawn takes over from 2 to 4. 4 to 6 p.m., Dominic Salvia, and then come Monday, Pat Kreitlow kicks off early from 6 to 8, Earl Ingram from 8 until 10. That will be on Monday morning, the weekend before Christmas. Here's the word. You still have about 8 minutes to text in via the Civic Media app. This hour's word is cookies, C-O-O-K-I-E-S. Text in the word cookies on the Civic Media app, and you'll be in the running for $100 in cash. The hours that we play, again, next up with Todd and then with Dom, either $100 up for grabs or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort. Everyone who enters, whether you win a prize or not, is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes. So good luck. Text in the word cookies. It is plural, C-O-O-K-I-E-S. And good luck for that $100 in cash, help you out a little bit right before the holiday. Calvin, it's 11:53. That means it is time for...
Oh, ho, ho, ho! This shouldn't be a thing! Oh, ho, ho, ho!
This shouldn't be a thing. Holiday edition, I know. Thank you, Todd Michaels. Really like that. Today, it is the Ho No edition. of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Headline reads from yourcentralvalley.com, "You're an idiot. Man gets stuck in chimney while allegedly attempting to flee Massachusetts police." Fall River, Massachusetts, a man is facing charges after attempting to evade police by hiding in a chimney and then getting stuck in there. Detectives were executing a search warrant at the home when two men reportedly fled trying to evade arrest. One man actually did manage to get away. He jumped off the roof onto a parked car. Unfortunately, his buddy, 33-year-old Robert Langley, chose a different option and wound up wedged in the chimney. In a message, police said Langley invoked the essence of Santa while seeking a place to hide. Unfortunately, he quickly got stuck there and then had to ask for help from the very police he was fleeing from because he was trapped in the chimney.
Oh, my God. I was like, you're an idiot.
Yes, one of the officers immediately said to the suspect, "You are an idiot." It was on his body cam. They actually had to break the chimney apart in order to get him out of it.
Oh, do you think that the...
Let that just be a reminder that Santa is magical, and that's why Santa can go down chimneys.
Oh, I never knew. That's astute of you to point out. I'm wondering if the crook will have to pay restitution for the repaired chimney that they had to break open.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, body cam footage shows they had to call the fire department. Firefighters showed up disassembling the chimney brick by brick before pulling Mr. Langley to safety. He was brought to the hospital for evaluation due to his Santa antics. He has been charged with drug possession as well as other offenses tied to outstanding warrants. Police did arrest another person at home, although they said with far less theatrics. I still think the headline kills me. Man gets stuck in chimney while allegedly attempting to flee. No, I think that was allegedly attempting to flee.
No,
that looked like a pretty legitimate effort to get away from the cops.
Fleeing was happening in this situation. There's no doubt about it, or else he just wedged himself in the chimney for no reason because he's just, it's a Sunday, who knows, I don't know, but no, this fleeing happening, yeah. Oh my goodness,
it was fleeing happening. Yep. So if you ever have a thing you see that you think should not be, just email it to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. that wraps up today's special holiday edition of
Oh, ho, ho, ho. This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And don't forget, guys, next Tuesday, we are having our cookie exchange. I am pulling mine from the wonderful We Energies holiday cookie book. Pressure's going to be on.
Okay.
This is Calvin's mom.
I'm making my own cookies. I'm not relying upon Calvin's mom, even though I've offered to pay her.
Have you decided on a recipe?
I've narrowed it down to 500 or 700 different options that the internet has for me. You'll be surprised.
You got four whole days. You got four mm-hmm. whole days. It's going to be great.
Yep.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.